Right now on VFN TV, President Trump delivers remarks to Japanese and U.S. business leaders as he's in Japan, and also a press conference with South Korean President Moon. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that when he, by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that in a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation. Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. What do you mean, just a dream? Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say, it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying, it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited about today's program because we're going to be talking about President Donald Trump as he addresses Japanese and U.S. business leaders in Japan. This is really, is turning out to be a historic trip to Asia. The president is going to Asia. He's visiting five countries, Japan, South Korea. He's going to China. He's going to the Philippines and Vietnam. But in Japan, he's talking to these business leaders because he's not just going there to talking about, you know, strategic military defense, which is very important right now in Asia, especially with North Korea threatening as they are threatening right now. But also, he's going there to talk about the economy. You know, you're hearing a lot of talks about trade deficits, and we want this to be fair, is what the president's saying. But do we really understand and do we know what that means? As I understand, trade deficits is typically or basically when a nation is exporting, or actually importing more than what they're exporting. And right now in Japan, we're importing billions and billions of cars. That's Toyota, you know, that's Honda, but they're not importing any American vehicles or very little. And so there's a trade deficit. It's not fair. Well, Donald Trump is fixing that. He's saying, listen, we need to do business better, that America is no longer going to be taken advantage of. In fact, Japan now, from what my understanding, is the largest purchaser now of Boeing. And we're encouraging them, this president is, you're going to spend money on your defense. We're going to be your allies. We're going to stand with you. But your country needs to invest in your own defense. So we're seeing this ripple in so many different ways. And you're going to hear the president as he's traveling with also U.S. business leaders to Asia to cut deals just like he did in Saudi Arabia. And so this is encouraging. You're going to hear that the stock market is again at an all-time high. You're looking at 61 times this has happened in his 9 months of presidency. Not only that, but you're looking at a GDP that last quarter rose by 3.2%. You're looking at jobs being added to the economy, more regulations than any U.S. president. President Trump, think about this, has cut more regulations than any U.S. president in history. Regulations is what bogs down businesses and infrastructure and things happening because all this, you know, red tape. So President Trump's just cutting all that and saying, let's get to work. Let's get America working again. Let's get America being prosperous again. So we want to take you straight to this press conference as you're going to be greatly, greatly encouraged. Watch this.
We are here today in Japan with one of our closest and most cherished allies. Through bad times and good times, through rain and through shine, I want to thank Secretary Tillerson, Rex, who's done a tremendous job of leading the dedicated men and women of the Department of State here in Japan and around the world. The splendor and beauty of Japan has left a lasting impression on me and my family. And I want to thank the First Lady for being with us. Melania, please stand. She's become a very, very popular First Lady, I can tell you that. Whenever I speak, they have hundreds of signs out in the audience. We love our First Lady, which is so true. Thank you. And our warmest admiration for this ancient culture. It's an ancient culture, and its customs are ancient, and it's terrific. Over the weekend, Ivanka attended the World Assembly for Women with Prime Minister Abe, who I was with all day yesterday. I applaud Prime Minister. And he's a terrific person, by the way, for his dedication to advancing women in the workforce. And I share his commitment to empowering women in business and in all professions. This morning, I am pleased to have an opportunity to discuss how we can strengthen and improve the economic ties between the United States and Japan. And I have to say, for the last many decades, Japan has been winning. You do know that. For the last 70 years, cooperation between our two countries has helped us to pioneer incredible advances in commerce, in science, medicine, and technology. Our students study together, our scholars exchange ideas, and business leaders like you work together to invest in a better, more prosperous future for both of our nations. I know many of the leaders in this room have helped build Japan into the center for commerce and innovation that it is today, and I want to commend you for your incredible achievements in so many areas. And I looked at a list of the people in the room. They are truly the leaders of industry. I congratulate you all. Names that in many cases I haven't met, but I know you well from reading about you on the covers of every business magazine and sometimes well beyond the business magazine. So congratulations. Fantastic job you've done in building some of the greatest companies in the world. And it's an honor to be working with you. We want to thank and make the United States for the people in this room and well beyond this room the most attractive place for you to hire, invest, and to grow. That's why we are very, very substantially lowering our taxes. The United States is one of the highest tax nations in the world. But it's also a market like no other. By far the biggest market in the world. Its numbers are phenomenal. Over the last, since November 8th, Election Day, Our unemployment is at a 17-year low. We've gotten almost 2 million more people in the workforce in just that short period of time. I've reduced regulations terrifically, frankly, if I do say so myself, but at a level that nobody else has ever done. I've done more in 9 months in terms of the reduction of regulations than any president has done in a full term, and it's not even close. And if it were close, they will let you know about it tomorrow morning, believe me. They will tell you about it, but it's not even close. The stock market reached an all-time high on Friday, and that's the 61st, I believe, something around that number, 61st time that's happened. So we have a lot of happy people in this room because your stocks are right in there. And look at you. You're smiling very happy. What company? What company? Oh, that's another big one. That's a great company. Are you happy? You happy with the job? Good. Come here. Give me your hand. That is some company, too. Congratulations. You've done a great job. But it's reached an all-time high. I believe it's maybe in the neighborhood of 61 times during the course of from November 8th. And so we're honored by that. GDP growth, very importantly, we hit 3.2 last quarter, 3.2. And this time we hit 3, and we figure a good point, I would say a good solid point for hurricanes. We had 4 horrific hurricanes, as everybody knows, and did a tremendous damage to Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands and Louisiana, and even Alabama was affected, and other places, Georgia. And we figured at least a point. So I was going to close my eyes a little bit when the numbers came out, and the number came out at 3. That would mean that it would have been 4, and GDP at 4 was unthinkable, actually unthinkable, when I was running. And I said we could do it. They were saying maybe you could hit 2, 2.5. My first quarter was 1. We were in the ones. And so we're at 3 and now 3.2. And again, without the hurricanes, I think we would have been 4 or very close to 4. So that's GDP of 4. That was not something that people thought of in the first 3 or 4 years. And we've already hit it. And we will continue to. On regulations, while I've reduced regulations terrifically, it would take, as an example, to build a highway, it would take 17 to 20 years to get approvals. And at the end of the 20th year, in many cases, they voted it down. Do you approve? No. So they wasted tens of millions of dollars. There's a highway in Maryland where it took exactly 17 years.
This is so amazing and so encouraging because he's talking about your 401ks. He's talking about the stock market. He's talking about how the economy is absolutely shifting and wealth is being restored back to America. Understand that under previous administration, the debt in this country rose approximately by 86%, somewhere in the ballpark of $19 trillion. These are real dollars, and America is going in a different direction. It's going upward. Listen, we're going to take a break, but when we get back from this break, you're going to continue to hear what President Trump is talking about, how companies like Foxconn, who makes iPhone, is actually going to be setting up their plant in Wisconsin, adding 4,000 new jobs. You're going to hear about this and so much more, including Toyota and other automakers. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio, Steve Kalaszewski. Listen, we want to go straight to President Trump's remark as he's talking to business leaders from Japan and the United States, as he's talking about growth, future developments, new plants coming to the United States, which means more increase in wealth and the prosperity of this nation. Let's join him now.
To build a highway, it would take 17 to 20 years to get approvals. And at the end of the 20th year, in many cases, they voted it down. Do you approve? No. So they wasted tens of millions of dollars. There's a highway in Maryland where it took exactly 17 years. And the original numbers were very little, and it ended up costing hundreds of millions of dollars for a very small, short highway. And we can't have that. So we're trying to bring that number down from anywhere from 13 to 20 years. We're trying to bring it down to 1 year. You want to build a road? You want to build a highway? You want to build a school? You want to build a factory, most importantly to the folks in this room, or a plant? You're going to have your approvals very, very quickly. Now, you may be rejected quickly, too, but that's okay. If you reject it quickly, you don't want to be rejected at the end of the 17th year. I approved a power plant, which has been under consideration for 11 years, and they gave up, and I approved it. And it's a $7 billion plant. And the state wanted it, and the local community wanted it, but they had environmental restrictions, and now it's being built. The Dakota Access Pipeline, and as you know, the Keystone Pipeline, that was rejected by the previous administration. The Keystone Pipeline was dead. And the Dakota Access Pipeline was even worse shape because they built it, but they weren't allowed to hook it up. So I consider not starting even better than that. And in my first week, I approved both. It's 42,000 jobs. The Dakota is already open, and Keystone is starting. It's actually already started. And that was done in the first week. Got it approved. And we have many other things like that. I could stand here all day and tell you additional events that we've done that create jobs and are good for our country, not bad for our country. When you want to build your auto plants, you will have your approvals almost immediately. When you want to expand your plants, you will have your approvals almost immediately. And in the room, we have a couple of the great folks from two of the biggest auto companies in the world that are building new plants and doing expansions of other plants. And you know who you are, and I want to just thank you very much. I want to thank you. I also want to recognize the business leaders in the room whose confidence in the United States, they've been creating jobs. You have such confidence in the United States, and you've been creating jobs for our country for a long, long time. Several Japanese automobile industry firms have been really doing a job. And we love it when you build cars. If you're a Japanese firm, we love it. Try building your cars in the United States instead of shipping them over. Is that possible to ask? That's not rude. Is that rude? I don't think so. If you could build them. But I must say, Toyota and Mazda, where are you? Are you here? Anybody? Toyota? Mazda? I thought so. Ooh, I thought that was you. That's big stuff. Congratulations. Come on, let me shake your hand. They're going to invest $1.6 billion in building a new manufacturing plant, which will create as many as 4,000 new jobs in the United States. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we're very pleased that just last month, Denso announced that it will invest $1 billion to expand its activities in Tennessee, a great state. Great state. I know I'm going to introduce them now. And create over 1,000 new jobs. And I do believe that's you, another famous man. Come here. Great state. You're going to love being there. And again, it's really terrific. You watch, it's going to go so smoothly. And the process is a much easier process now. So thank you. Thank you both very much. I want to thank these companies, but I want to thank all of the companies that are coming in. Many companies have announced now that they're coming into the United States to do plants, to do factories, to move. You saw Broadcom is coming in, top 100 company. They announced on Thursday from the Oval Office. Anytime you'd like to expand a second time, see, I don't have to do that now because you've already announced, so I don't have to bother. But if you do a little more expansion, we'll do it from the Oval Office, you too, all right? But we just did that announcement from the Oval Office. And Foxconn is coming in with a massive plant that's going to be in Wisconsin. And that was very exciting. They do the Apple iPhones, and it's going to be a tremendous success. But we have to do more. The United States has suffered massive trade deficits with Japan for many, many years, almost $70 billion annually, $70 billion. Many millions of cars are sold by Japan into the United States, whereas virtually no cars go from the United States into Japan. And our car industry is doing very well, and our product is fantastic. So we'll have to negotiate that out, and we'll do it in a very friendly way, and I know it's going to be a successful negotiation. And one thing I can say, that we make the greatest military equipment in the world. There's nothing close. And Prime Minister is ordering a lot of military equipment, as he should be, with what's happening with one of your neighbors. So that is happening. We had a case yesterday, as you know, where a missile was shot into Saudi Arabia, and their missile system defense took the missile right out of the air, blew it up. Incredible talent, incredible technology that we have, incredible. The accuracy that you can stop something like that. It's like a needle in the air going very, very fast. And just we make incredible equipment, whether it's the planes, the missiles, anything you can think about. There's nobody even close. So we're going to be doing a lot of business with many countries on defense. We want fair and open trade. But right now, our trade with Japan is not fair and it's not open. But I know it will be soon. We want free and reciprocal trade. But right now, our trade with Japan is not free and it's not reciprocal. And I know it will be. And we've started the process, and it's gone on for a long time, but I know that we will be able to come up with trade deals and trade concepts that are going to be fair to both countries, and actually, I think, will actually be better for both countries. And I have no doubt that it'll be done in a quick and very friendly manner. I'm very optimistic about the future of our economic partnership. We are proud, for instance, that after the United States, Japan is the largest owner of Boeing aircraft, greatest commercial aircraft in the world. Is Boeing here? Boeing?
Right there, from Boeing is here.
Oh, look at my guy. Stand up. Boy, have I made him. Whoa, come. And I do love the F-18 also. I love the F-18. So we're joined this morning also by Ray Washburn. Where's Ray? Ray. Stand up. What are you doing in the back of the room like that, Ray? Since when have you become shy? Ray was with us from the beginning, right from the day I announced. Ray felt very strongly about it. And Ray's now the CEO of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, or OPIC. And Ray's working with the Japan Bank for International Cooperation to invest in bold new infrastructure projects. This is a major development that will advance our shared interests in the region. Ray, I want to thank you for doing such a great job. From day one, the day I met you, perfect job. Thank you very much. And in partnership with the United States, the sovereign nations of the Indo-Pacific will work together to achieve a future of security, prosperity, and peace. We will have more trade than anybody ever thought of under TPP, that I can tell you. TPP was not the right idea. Probably some of you in this room disagree, but ultimately I'll be proven to be right. We will have much bigger trade with the way we're doing it right now. And it'll be a much less complex situation. We cherish the friendship between the United States and Japan. And I cherish my friendship with Prime Minister Abe. We welcome more Japanese investments into the United States. We believe that a balanced economic partnership will unlock new frontiers for discovery, unleash new prosperity for our citizens, and improve the lives of millions and millions of people all around the world. We're grateful for everything you do to promote opportunity in both Japan and the United States. We look forward to many years of cooperation, innovation, collaboration, and unbelievable trade. Unbelievable trade. It's happening and it's going to happen. So I want to thank everybody for being here today. Again, you are the rock stars of business, amazing people. I hope your family recognize how important you are. Oftentimes they don't, right? But you really are. You're the rock stars of business, and it's an honor to be with you. And I think as soon as the media leaves, we'll do some question and answers. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
This is really amazing because I don't think in the last 20, 25 years have we had a U.S. president go into another country, Steve, and cut so many deals and really restructuring everything. It seems like almost a lot of these previous administrations have been giving away, you know, giving the store away.
Well, how many presidents have such a business understanding of what's wrong, where, okay, this is not a good deal for us, or this is not a good deal on both sides. And and President Trump recognizes that.
He's a businessman, a successful businessman that other business leaders respect all around the world. When you have CEOs from Toyota and Mazda and, you know, Boeing, that now Japan is the largest owner of Boeing aircraft, it's amazing. And to understand that, listen, not too long ago, these iPhones were actually being built by Foxconn in China. And now you're looking at 4,000 new jobs in Wisconsin and the billions of dollars that are coming back into the United States. In a previous program, we talked about how Broadcom is coming back from Singapore, coming back home, they said, to the United States at the tune of $20 billion. $3 to $6 billion annually thereafter.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And you've got CEOs of companies saying, we're coming home again. And they're saying, if you have a global company, America is where you want to be headquartered. That's
absolutely huge. Amazing. Listen, we're going to go to this break. When we get back, we're going to bring you to a press conference that President Trump just had in South Korea with President Moon, who is so excited that a U.S. president has visited South Korea, first time in 25 years, especially when they are being threatened by North Korea. Listen, things are shifting, alliances are getting stronger in the Pacific, and America's prosperity is being restored. This is a good day in America, and we have a lot to be thankful for, but it's only the beginning. But before we go to a break, I do want to talk to you about special offer. It's called Holy Tension. Listen, we want to give this special offer for you, to you for free. Your gift for any amount. I want you to watch the details for more. Listen up.
Offer 2042, Holy Tension in God's Family, when it's God's doing. There comes a time when a loving father must deal with a member of his family that is bringing harm to the family or themselves. It is a difficult season for the family, one the father deeply wishes he'd never have to go through, but one that is necessary if he's going to protect his family. These are moments of great tension for a family, but moments that are required to assure its survival. This also happens in God's family as our Father. It is important to recognize these moments and carefully walk through them, as it could cost anyone in the family major consequences for not understanding when our loving Father God is dealing with his family, a family that he loves, and it is not okay for us to throw our own opinions, judgments, or criticism. He especially is not okay with us changing his plans. In this message, you'll see a time when God, as a father, had to deal with his family, which was deeply divided and in great sin. The way God does and sees things will flip how most of us see and do things in this life. You'll discover or rediscover the fear of the Lord and how he is in full charge of all matters. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's Offer 2042, Holy Tension, in God's family when it's God's doing.
VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The idea of authority in dealing with children has fallen into disrepute in recent years, and it's no wonder.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
The moment you even use the word authority, there are people who mistakenly think you're referring to harshness and anger. They picture a father who rules with an iron fist, and when he speaks, everybody jumps because they're afraid not to. Properly defined, however, authority means respected leadership. And without respect for leadership, you have no leadership. And without leadership, you have anarchy, chaos, and very real danger. One day when our kids were younger, I remember watching their hamster run around his cage. He was gnawing on the bars and trying to lift the cage door, doing everything he could to escape. Then about 5 feet away, I noticed our little dachshund Siggy watching the hamster from the safety of the shadows. His ears were pointed straight up, and I knew exactly what he was thinking. Come on, baby, break through to freedom. I'll give you a ride you'll never forget. Now, if that little hamster had been so unfortunate as to achieve his desire for freedom, he'd been dead in seconds. You see, even loving discipline can seem like a cage to a child sometimes. But young children lack the perspective to see what awaits them beyond the bars. If you love your kids, lead them. You have the authority to take charge at home. Use it.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
I was preaching in Washington, D.C. A man walked up to me and said, I'm a child psychoanalyst. He said, I've heard what you've said to me today, and I find it interesting, but I don't believe it. He said, I'm a Freudian. If I believe what you say, I will have to give up my career. He said, my whole counseling is based on Freudian presuppositions, which is running contrary to what you're saying. I said, I'm asking you, does what you believe make sense? I said, what does it matter what label you put on an empty bottle? He says, let's go to church. I preached on worship. And Ralph, the child psychoanalyst, stumbled over to the front of the altar and gave his life over to Jesus Christ.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Steve Kolesheski, and we want to go straight to the press conference where President Trump is speaking at a press conference with South Korean President Moon as they talk about some very strategic alliances regarding military and how. Check this out. Just happened, Steve. They're lifting this payload limit that South Korea is able to put on the missiles. They're saying, listen, basically, do whatever you have to do
to defend yourself. That's right.
Literally, I mean, they share this peninsula with North Korea. They have this, you know, demilitarized zone, but it's North Korea, South Korea, and they're, you know, it's not
they're
good.
They're next door.
They're exactly. Yeah. They're right next door. So this is a very, very serious time in you know, history, and we want to make sure that we defend our friends, we defend the rest of the country, and we defend America. But president's there. President Moon is there, and they're going to be talking to us now. Let's watch.
I extend my heartfelt welcome to the visit by Your Excellency President Donald Trump and Madam First Lady to Republic of Korea. His visit marks the first state visit by the U.S. President to Korea in 25 years, and President Trump is also the first state guest for myself and my government. This special bond forged between President Trump and I myself, I find it very meaningful, and I'm gratified to be part of it. President Trump and I met and communicated with each other numerous times, building deep trust and consolidating our friendship. Today, we had candid discussions about steadfastness of ROC-U.S. alliance. Moreover, we agreed to work towards resolving North Korean nuclear issue in a peaceful manner and bringing permanent peace to the Korean Peninsula. Against escalating nuclear and missile threats from North Korea, we reaffirmed our principle that we must maintain strong stance toward North Korean threats based on overwhelming superiority of power. President Trump has reaffirmed his ironclad commitment to defend Korea, and President Trump and I agreed to further strengthen the robust combined defensive posture of our two countries. In this regard, President Trump and I agreed to expand rotational deployment of U.S. strategic assets in and around Korean Peninsula. We will step up our collaboration to enhance Korea's self-defense capability to unprecedented levels. To this end, we reached a conclusion today to lift the payload limit on Korean missiles completely. There was a final agreement. We also agreed to begin consultation for Korea's acquisitions and development of Korea's state-of-the-art military reconnaissance assets. Once again, we strongly urge North Korea to halt its nuclear and missile provocation and to come to dialogue table for denuclearization as soon as possible. President Trump and I reaffirmed our current strategy, which is to maximize pressure and sanctions on North Korea until it gives up nuclear weapons and to come to the table for dialogue on its own. At the same time, should North Korea choose to make the right choice, we also reaffirmed our view that we are willing to offer North Korea a bright future. Based on such common approach between our two countries, we will continue to lead efforts to bring peaceful and fundamental solutions to North Korean nuclear issues. We will maintain close collaboration with the international community, including the neighboring countries. I sincerely hope that President Trump's visit at this time will be a turning point for the situation on the Korean Peninsula in a stable manner. Today, President Trump and I visited Pyeongtaek Base, which is a symbolic venue for showing the future of ROK-US alliance and also Korea's contribution to the alliance. As we gave our words of encouragement to Korean and American service members who are striving to realize our common goal, we could feel the strong friendship of Korea and U.S. alliance on the site. President Trump and I also agreed to continue strengthening of the combined defense postures and capabilities of the bilateral alliance by pursuing defense cost sharing at an adequate and reasonable level. Last but not least, we reaffirm that economic cooperation is an important pillar of ROK-US alliance. We share the view that economic cooperation is a critical element in our efforts to pursue sustainable and future-oriented ROK-US alliance. In order to enjoy the benefit of free, equitable, and balanced trade together, we agreed to have the relevant authorities expedite the process of KORUS FTA consultation. By sharing the universal value and at the fruits of economic prosperity with the humankind, President Trump and I agreed to make a joint contribution to the peace and prosperity of the world. We also agreed to continue strengthening cooperation for global challenges, including issues of terrorism, women, human rights, and public health. President Trump requested that I need to talk with him continuously, and we agreed that we will continuously have a frequent and close communications. And by doing that, we'll further strengthen the trust and ties between us and also solidify the bilateral alliance. Once again, I extend warm welcome to President and Madam First Lady's visit to Korea. Please enjoy the beautiful autumn weather and find deepening of friendship in our two countries as well as our two leaders. Thank you.
감사합니다. 문재인 대통령.
Thank you very much. That was an opening statement by President Moon Jae-in, which will be followed by President Donald Trump.
Thank you very much, President Moon. Thank you.
This is so exciting. You know, these two leaders coming together and having these talks and, you know, walking together. We get back from this break. We're going to let you, you know, come right on in and hear what President Trump has to say in his very first visit to South Korea on his five-country Asian tour. You don't want to miss it. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
"100 Days of Peace."
Many Brazilian Christians are calling it a milestone in the history of Brazil in integrating sport and religious values.
It's an Olympic initiative put into effect by the Catholic Church with organized events before, during, and after the Olympic Games to engage a new generation of young athletes with biblical values and to spread a message of peace.
In his 2014 message for the World Cup in Brazil, Pope Francis said,
"Sport is a form of entertainment, but above all, an instrument to communicate values."
The Pontifical Council for the Laity says that Olympic values recalls the teachings of Christ in the Gospels, mutual respect, and the care of the body, referring in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit.
The Bible, impacting the 2016 Olympic Games.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new material's put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio, Steve Kolesheski. Listen, we're going to go straight to the press conference where President Trump is about to address South Korean folks that are there, the press, and really the whole world, as President Moon of South Korea just spoke. Watch this.
Warm welcome and magnificent ceremony you have given us during our first trip to the very beautiful city of Seoul. Thank you very much. Melania and I had a wonderful time having tea with you and First Lady Kim. Thank you. At the beautiful Blue House, which I've heard so much about and now get to visit and see firsthand. We're looking forward to joining you for dinner this evening, and we have much to discuss. Today, the President and I had an opportunity to talk about a range of vital economic and security matters, including our trade relationship and our joint efforts to solve North Korea's grave nuclear threat to South Korea and, indeed, the entire world. This is a worldwide problem. The Republic of Korea is more than a longstanding ally of the United States. We are partners and friends who have fought side by side in a war and really worked very hard and prospered toward a great and lasting peace. I feel confident that we'll be able to reach a free, fair, and reciprocal trade deal as we renegotiate our current five-year-old trade document. We cannot allow North Korea to threaten all that we have built. And we built it very much together, and we're very, very proud of it also together. But all that we've built in the decades since our soldiers sacrificed side by side in the struggle for freedom, our alliance is more important than ever to peace and security on the Korean Peninsula and across the Indo-Pacific region. That is why Vice President Pence, Secretary of State Tillerson, who's with us today, and Secretary of Defense Mattis, who was here just a short time ago, have all traveled to Seoul in the first year of my administration. It was very important to me that they did. North Korea's sixth test of a nuclear device and its missile launches are a threat not only to the people of South Korea, but to the people all across our globe. We will together confront North Korea's actions and prevent the North Korean dictator from threatening millions of innocent lives. He is indeed threatening millions and millions of lives so needlessly. North Korea is a worldwide threat that requires worldwide action. We call on every responsible nation, including China and Russia, to demand that the North Korean regime end its nuclear weapons and its missile programs and live in peace. As the South Korean people know so well, it's time to act with urgency and with great determination. All nations must implement UN Security Council regulations and cease trade and business entirely with North Korea. It is unacceptable that nations would help to arm and finance this increasingly dangerous regime. As we work together to resolve this problem using all available tools short of military action, the United States stands prepared to defend itself and its allies using the full range of our unmatched military capabilities if need be. The crucial U.S. security partnership with South Korea is just one aspect of our enduring alliance. We also share deep partnerships on a range of issues, from cultural exchange to cutting-edge advances in science and medicine, and the very important issue of trade. Currently, we are looking at ways of improving our economic relationship. I would like to thank President Moon for instructing his trade negotiators to work closely with us to quickly pursue a much better deal, a deal that, frankly, has been quite unsuccessful and not very good for the United States. In the more than six decades since we signed our mutual defense treaty, our alliance has grown stronger and deeper. Our two nations symbolize what independent countries can accomplish when they serve the interests of their people, respect the sovereignty of their neighbors, and uphold the rule of law. Imagine the amazing possibilities for a Korean Peninsula liberated from the threat of nuclear weapons, where all Koreans could enjoy the blessings of liberty and the prosperity that you have achieved right here in South Korea. I also want to congratulate President Moon and the South Korean people on hosting the Winter Olympics this upcoming February. It will be a truly spectacular event. Mr. President, I want to thank you, First Lady Kim, and I mean it was just so special today. The ceremony was so beautiful. We very much thank you for it. Together, our two nations will handle threats to peace and security, stand up to those who would threaten our freedom, and boldly seize the incredible opportunities for a better, brighter, and more prosperous tomorrow. In good times and bad, in moments of great hardship and great success, our two nations can always count on the close bonds and deep friendship we share as free, proud, and independent people. Mr. President, I look forward to the rest of our visit together, and I send the wonderful citizens of South Korea the best wishes from the people of the United States of America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is so amazing, so historic. Yeah. You know, I love the Koreans. You know, when I'm watching this, I'm thinking about, I don't know if you remember Amy, we met her, my wife and I met her in Central Park in New York, and she was visiting from South Korea, and we just had an amazing encounter because we, you know, we wound up leading her to the Lord out there. It was just amazing. But her passion, you know, it was just amazing. She was sharing so much of, you know, about her homeland and about South Korea and how Koreans are. And it was just really super encouraging, you know, when I think about that. And I'm so glad that, you know, we have a president that recognizes the importance of what's happening in that region and how he sent General Mattis there, how he sent Vice President Pence there, how he sent Secretary of State Rex Tillerson there in his first year of administration before he eventually arrived.
Yeah.
Think about, you know, this cabinet level position. This is the highest cabinet levels. If you're vice president, you have your general secretary of defense and secretary of state all visiting this country because we're literally on the verge. I I don't want to think this way, but I think we're on the verge of war here with North Korea. What do you do with a dictator who is threatening, yeah, you know, that I'm going to launch these missiles, I'm going to launch this stuff against you guys, and it's testing them.
Yeah. And to me, it speaks overwhelming volumes to the leadership of South Korea that says, I'm not just going to make a phone call from the Oval Office. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to bring a delegation from the White House, from the administration, and say, yeah, we want to provide whatever resources we can, and to know that you're not alone. And
well, we have a base there. Yes. We have you know, yes, American citizens there. We have American citizens in Japan and yeah, Dakota Air Base. So
while the threats of North Korea are increasing.
Yeah. Talk to us about yes, The Hill. What are they reporting?
Yeah, according to The Hill, conversations between President Trump and South Korean and President Moon, he says, President Trump gave his in-principle approval to South Korea's initiative to lift restrictions on their missile payload capabilities. President Trump also provided his conceptual approval for the purchase of many billions of dollars worth of military weapons and equipment from the United States by South Korea.
Isn't this refreshing? What I'm hearing from this administration is, not only are we going to come alongside of you and we're going to defend you as mm-hmm, our ally, as our friend, as our longtime partner, you know, spreading democracy, but also we're going to help you yes, to purchase some weapons.
We're going to provide you the needed resources yeah, you need.
We
right
have
now,
some great companies yes, here in America, and we're going to help you strike the check so that you can learn to defend yourself. This is a shift in policy. Yes. You know, I remember when President Trump, a few months ago, went and spoke to the NATO countries, had all the leaders there saying, it's time for you guys to pay some of the bills mm-hmm, here, you know? They're supposed to dedicate a certain amount of their budget to their defense. And he went down the list and how many of them were not mm-hmm, even doing that. So it's good that we're there to defend mm-hmm, them. We're there showing up. It's also good that we're encouraging these nations to invest in America, yeah, and that's really investing in you. Listen, as we come out, we want to close the end of this program, as we do all programs, in prayer. Steve, would you close yes, us out?
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've placed upon our President, President Trump, in this crucial hour, God, to understand the global relationships that are so important, and especially on that you're keeping him safe on this trip of the five countries in this Pacific trip. Lord, I thank you, God, for his relationships with global CEOs and global businesses and his business understanding of how to communicate in these crucial times. Lord, I ask you, God, that you would just give wisdom to all of these nations during this crisis and just during this increasing threat with North Korea. And Lord, as we ask you during every program, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, and that you would bring a third great awakening, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called The Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com. and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.